So, good afternoon again, everyone. When John the Baptist was having doubts about whether Jesus was the promised Messiah or not, he sent some of his disciples to ask him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered that inquiry from John's disciples and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus performed these healings in part because those were things the Messiah was prophesied to do. And so the gospel writers include many specific instances of such healings. In addition to general statements about the sick and the infirmed being brought to him, how many distinct stories would you guess involve the blind receiving their sight? Well, there are at least 7 such stories. How many stories about lepers being cleansed? Well, I count 2. How about the dead being raised? Well, we know of 3 of those. And the lame walking? Well, we have at least 2 of those. And what about the deaf hearing? Surprisingly, there is only 1 specific example of a deaf man hearing again, aside from a deaf and mute and dumb spirit being cast out that may have also involved restoring hearing. But that one event is what I want to look at today, and it occurs in the book of Mark. So we're going to look at this single example of a deaf man receiving the ability to hear and then discuss its significance. There are very few stories that only Mark relates, and this is one of them. We find it in the 7th chapter of Mark. Mark 7 and verse 32. I will, however, by means of introduction, start with verse 31. "Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee." So this is setting the stage. Jesus has been in Tyre and Sidon. There he cast out the demon from the daughter of a Gentile woman who expressed great faith. And he's now returning to Galilee. And so he's going through the region of the Decapolis. In verse 32, they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. Now, there's no universal agreement as to the nature of this man's deafness. Was he deaf from birth, which would imply that he was mute because he had not learned to talk, or at least did not learn to talk clearly, which requires auditory feedback? The Greek word for impediment of speech implies difficulty speaking, as opposed to total inability. So others feel that he had become deaf at some point and used to be able to speak. Perhaps even now he could speak, but not clearly. The laying on of hands, which is made reference to as they wanted him to lay hands on him, is something that the scriptures show as a way of setting someone apart or conferring something. It is included as one of the elementary doctrines of Hebrews 6. We do it today in performing ordinations, marriages, blessing of children, receiving the Holy Spirit, and of course, in requesting healing from God as commanded in James 5. The people who brought this man to Christ were looking to Jesus to put his hands on him and heal him. Now, Jesus didn't do all of his healings the same way. Sometimes he just said the word, not even being present, and people were healed. Sometimes he gave the people something to do, like washing in the pool of Siloam. Sometimes the healings were public, in front of a crowd. Other times, Jesus felt a little more privacy was in order. And this was the case here. So in verse 33, it says, he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Now, this was obviously not something that Jesus needed to do to bring about the healing. Just willing to have for it to happen would have been sufficient. But this man couldn't hear, so perhaps Jesus did this to help him understand what he was about to do. By putting his fingers in his ears, he may have been showing him that he was going to open them up. The spitting is especially interesting here. Some think Jesus was applying some of his spit to the man's tongue, not unlike the following chapter when he applied some of his spit to the blind man's eyes. Others think that he spat simply to convey the idea that something was going to happen to his mouth, like, as the Authorized Version puts it, a string being loosed from his tongue. Maybe there was even something he needed to spit out when the healing took place. But in verse 34, Jesus then proceeds to look up to heaven. He sighs and says to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. There are numerous examples of Jesus looking to heaven and either audibly or silently asking the Father to allow this miracle to be performed and thanking him in advance for doing so. And then he sighs. Often when he does so, when he's sighing, it's an expression of empathy for the state of mankind, for compassion regarding the need for healing, or sometimes exasperation over their lack of understanding. This was most likely empathy over what this man had been through with his condition. But I can't help wonder if there could also be a little expression of sadness over what this man might go through after the healing. We hear so much that we might have been better off not hearing. And James and Proverbs tell us in detail about the problems we cause ourselves in not being able to control our tongues. Would this man have been better off not being healed? Well, probably not. We all need to learn how to use our senses as part of our character development, especially our ability to talk. But I can imagine Jesus sighing not only for the fact that he needed healing, but that this wasn't going to solve every problem and might indeed create some new ones in the future. Then Jesus says what I understand to be an Aramaic word, which Mark translates into Greek as be opened. It's an interesting word that applies not only to opening his ears, but opening his mouth as well. It's possible he said this for the benefit of the few people that accompanied him when he took the deaf man aside. But perhaps it was the first word the deaf man heard. This would be even more significant if he were born deaf, which would point out that when Jesus healed the blind and lame, not only did they receive the physical ability to see and walk, but also the comprehension to understand what they were seeing and the coordination to walk. This man may have needed a full vocabulary also imparted to him to be able to understand and communicate clearly. Verse 35, we read that immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spake plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. It seems we as humans are often willing to pay homage to God, but we fall short when it comes to obedience. And then in verse 37, it says, they were astonished beyond measure, saying he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. The healings of Jesus were not just miracles for the benefit of those inflicted with a physical condition, nor were they merely signs that he was the Messiah. This healing especially points out a spiritual reality. The entire world is deaf to the word of God. Most do not ever hear it. Those who do hear it do not understand until God opens their ears. The symbolism of hearing, meaning spiritual understanding, is pervasive in the scriptures. Even in verse 16 of Mark 7, right in this chapter, Jesus said, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." It's a phrase Jesus used 8 times in the Gospels and 7 more times in his letters to the churches in Revelation. In Matthew 13, and we'll read a little bit over there, Matthew 13, Jesus related the parable of the sower, sowing seed that fell on various places with varying results. He concludes his parable by saying that same phrase in verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then it goes on to say that the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Then in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.'" So he is telling them they have had their ears opened. "For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And then Jesus explains the parable itself and says that it was not about sowing seed, it was about hearing the word of God. Some are not able to fully receive and receive it. Others have had their ears opened. The physical ears of the deaf man were opened, and at the same time he was given the ability to speak plainly. For some, God has chosen to open our spiritual ears so that we can hear and understand his word. Then, and only then, can we speak plainly about the scriptures. God has opened our spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear and understand. And we pray that we can also now speak plainly about what we have learned.